NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? Radio CBC English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. I'm Yan Bingxuan.
And I'm Liu Qi. Today is Monday, 9th of November, the 9th week of this term.
Here is the roundup of the latest news coming up next 30 minutes.
On November 4th, movie Qigong was shown in the 1,500 lecture hall of CUC.
Just like what we have expected before, this movie exactly charmed a large audience, including the headmaster of the CUC and many retired teachers.
China will allow all couples to have two children, abandoning its three-decades-long one-child policy.
The new policy will improve the demographic structure of China, increase labor supply, ease pressure brought by an aging society, facilitate the health growth of China's population, and further contribute to the sustainable development of the economy.
The U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter has signaled a change in American strategy against the Islamic State group in Iraq and Syria.
We won't hold back from supporting capable partners in opportunistic attacks against ISIL or conducting such missions directly, whether by strikes from the air or direct action on the ground.
And comment on rational spending during holidays.
Collected so many things, such as beautiful clothes, shoes, bags, shampoos, and even a computer or some electronic things.
And this is Weekly Focus.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news.
On November 4th, movie Qigong was shown in the 1500 lecture hall of CUC. Qigong was one of the most famous calligrapher in modern China. His masterpieces were well known and were collected throughout the world. In this movie, Professor Zhang Shaogang from the Faculty of Journalism and Communication acts as the middle-aged Qigong. Our correspondent Xu Jingtian was there.
Thank you. Just like what we have expected before, this movie exactly charmed a large audience, including the headmaster of the CUC and many retired teachers. The movie put emphasis on one of Qigong's identity, teacher, and that's why it moved everyone on board deeply. After movie showing, the director Ding Yingnan, Ding Zhen, and the leading actor Professor Zhang Shaogang step onto the stage to share their ideas with the audience.
We can see from the movie that Qigong is not a character with some vivid personalities. So the distinguished director, why don't you add more plots into the movie or make them more ups and downs, but choose the realism to create this film?
To Mr. Qigong, I always hold in awe and veneration. After all, he was the master of the Chinese Asian civilization, so I was full of caution when I scripted this movie. Actually, this mission that given by my father was quite tough, and it's always warned me day and night that I couldn't destruct this script or break Mr. Qigong's image. So compared with other commercial film, I think I couldn't get much freedom when I create Qigong.
大家好，我的电影终于在我的主场上映了。
And after the interview to the directors, Professor Zhang Shaogang started to talk about his funny stories during the shooting. Maybe it's because CUC is Professor Zhang's home, so he was quite relaxed on the stage. He told us how hard it was for him to cry directly in front of the camera without any help from the staff, who was the first time to act such an so elegant character. And he also admitted that it was the first time he believed that actor or actress is an occupation which needs a large amount of accumulation and training. At the last period of the interview, Professor Zhang told the audience in the hall that he would go back to the TV screen soon in future days. The movie gave us an awesome opportunity to strengthen the comprehension of Qigong, this well-known calligrapher, and the forum also let us know how much hardship we may meet on the way to realize our dream. We can't predict what we have in our lives, but we always need to overcome the difficulties we met with. That's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Jing Tian. Qigong was admired not only for his talented calligraphy skills, but also for his generosity, toughness, maturity, and pure mind. And I hope Professor Zhang Shaogang can continue to bring this kind of thought-provoking film to the audience.
On November the 5th, a forum was held in the No. 48 teaching building. Liang Qingsan, a science fiction writer, communicated with students about his abandoned experience and creative ideas. Our correspondent Fiona was there.
Many students come early to the forum. Among them are readers of Liang Qingsan and literary amateurs.
Welcome to the forum held by Study and Practice Department. Our guest today is Liang Qingsan. He is a science fiction writer loving innovations and explorations. Today, he comes to CUC with his new book.
He's talking about his new book, Literary Detective. It contains folkways, legends, and his memory about old Beijing.
This is a Beijing map in 1956. In this novel, characters find clues in the names and new changes of the alleys and houses.
The part after that is answer and question. Students are so interested in his lecture that they ask many questions. At last, he gives suggestions on literary questions to students.
So the study of chemistry cultivated my scientific attitude. I think writing is a kind of fine art. Only by basic practice can you create beauty. So you can start from basic training.
The forum ends with warm applause. It really aroused students' enthusiasm for sci-fi and writing. That's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Jingyi. As a warm-up activity of reading festival, the communication with Liang Qingsan was really beneficial, for it motivated the students in CUC to read. It also created an academic atmosphere for them.
Okay, let's look at the domestic news. On October 29th, the Communist Party of China announced a plan to abolish the decades-long one-child policy, allowing all couples to have two children. The announcement came amid increasing concerns over China's rapidly aging population and shrinking workforce in recent years.
The new policy will improve the demographic structure of China, increase labor supply, ease pressure brought by an aging society, facilitate the health growth of China's population, and further contribute to the sustainable development of the economy. We will ratify and improve our policies and regulations to focus on reproductive health and strengthen services on women's health and childcare. We will also simplify policies to better serve those affected by the new plan, especially those families who may have special needs in terms of family planning.
Policy will further ease China's family planning policy after the country said in 2013 that couples are allowed to have two children if one of them is an only child. It can also be seen as progress in our country when it comes to improving human rights. The official says that a move will strengthen the country's demographic structure and provide a better template for future economic growth.
A detailed itinerary of Chinese President Xi Jinping's forthcoming visit to Vietnam and Singapore has been unveiled on October 31st. During his time in Vietnam, President Xi Jinping held talks with the leaders of the country's ruling party, as well as its government. Discussions included ways to ease bilateral tensions and cope with other regional issues.
The two sides are set to sign a set of agreements connected to cooperation between the two parties, coordination of the two countries' development strategies, infrastructure construction, economic and trade investments, culture and education, as well as exchanges and cooperation among the border provinces of the two sides.
Also, Xi Jinping inaugurated a Chinese culture center during his time in Singapore this year, marking the 25th anniversary of diplomatic ties between China and Singapore. The Chinese president's trip began on November 5th when he took off for Holloway and ended on November 7th.
Okay, let's look at the international news. The U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter has signaled a change in American strategy against the Islamic State group in the Iraq and Syria. Testifying before the Senate Armed Service Committee, Mr. Carter said the U.S.-led coalition would intensify airstrikes and would not hold back from performing ground operations.
We won't hold back from supporting capable partners in opportunistic attacks against ISIL or conducting such missions directly, whether by strikes from the air or direct action on the ground.
The U.S. State Department spokesman John Kirby says Iran will very likely to be invited to participate in multilateral talks in Syria later this week, and whether they accept that invitation is up to them. If they do accept, at what level they want to stand in terms of the participant is up to Tehran.
The American Republican Congressman Paul Ryan has officially been elected the new Speaker of the U.S. House of the Representatives. According to the announcement of the outgoing Speaker John Boehner, 45-year-old Ryan became the youngest House Speaker in 140 years. After receiving 236 votes on October 29th. Later, he urged lawmakers in the chamber to reconcile with each other to fix a broken house.
The Honorable Paul D. Ryan of the state of Wisconsin, having received a majority of the votes cast, is duly elected as Speaker of the House.
The House is broken. We're not solving problems. We're adding to them. The committees should retake the lead in drafting all major legislation. If you know the issue, you should write the bill.
Ryan was a Republican nominee for vice president in 2012, when House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy shook the caucus by dropping his bid for the post. Ryan became the clear favorite among all fractions and was elected by his Republican colleagues on October 28th for the Speaker's job.
Okay, let's move on to the Weekly News Minute. The broadcasting and anchoring freshmen are preparing for the chorus performance during Qiyue Festival. Mr. Etiquette and Miss Etiquette for the festival are also selected from them.
COC Star of Talent, a stage designed for all the students to show themselves, are being complained this stage due to its compulsory registration process.
China and South Korea moved towards a closer economic partnership on Saturday with bills signed to synchronize development strategies and speed up the ratification of a bilateral free trade agreement that has yet to gain approval from the legislatures of each side.
Premier Li Keqiang has urged Japan to properly tackle the issue of history in a responsible manner and to undertake positive politics towards China. He made the comments when meeting with his Japanese counterpart Shinzo Abe for the first time in his capacity as the premier on Sunday in Seoul.
After the announcement on Thursday that China's one-child policy is ending, couples who want a second child need to wait until the appropriate laws are amended. The launch of the new policy needs to be in accordance with regional population and family planning laws, and the birth of a second child before such regulations are passed into law will be deemed illegal.
C919, the China's first homemade large passenger aircraft, was rolled out of the final assembly line in Shanghai on Monday. The plane, which was developed by Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China, is designed to have 158 seats and a standard flight range of 4,075 kilometers.
So nice to meet you again. Let's go through some fresh sports news. Let's first focus on football news. Guangzhou Evergrande became the Chinese Super League champion after a 2-0 win over Beijing Guoan on Saturday. The game was hosted in Beijing. Guangzhou's head coach Lu Scolari knew that a win would keep his team on the top of the Super League. After the game, Scolari stated that his team's success couldn't have happened without the help of others.
A minha participação é igual.
My involvement in winning this championship, if I need to tell you a portion, I would say I share the credit with all my coaching staff and players, and I just did what a coach needs to do. Please don't forget that this team I'm coaching now has been building up to years of effort. The achievement of this championship or this consecutive title in 5 years should not only be credited to us, but also to our predecessors at the club.
This is Evergrande's fifth champions in recent years. And this win also continued Guangzhou's unbeaten record under Scolari to 21 competitive matches. The 66-year-old Brazilian will now set his sights on the Asia Football Confederation Champions League. Beijing Guoan's veteran Shao Jiayi has decided to call an end to his career. The 35-year-old midfielder has announced his retirement at a news conference last week. Xiao is expected to play his last game against Guangzhou Evergrande in the last match day of this season's Chinese Super League this weekend. Xiao started his football career in Guoan at the age of 18, and then he made it to the national squad 2 years later and represented China in the 2002 World Cup. He joined Bundesliga's Munich 1860 on loan in 2003 to start a 9-year spell in Germany. He is known for his left foot goals and is called the Asian Golden Left Foot by the German media. He returned to Guoan 4 years ago at 2011 and played as a main force till his retirement. The Association of National Olympic Committees presented Thomas Bach, the president of International Olympic Committee, with an award for contributing to the Olympic movement on last Thursday in Washington, D.C. The award ceremony was held to honor the outstanding achievements and performance of athletes during the five continental games held in 2014 and 2015. IOC President Thomas Bach spoke a few words about what these awards mean to him.
In this great Olympic movement, you cannot achieve anything alone. You can only achieve something if you work together. If you work together with ANOC and the National Olympic Committees, if you work together with the International Federation, if you have the assistance of a great administration in the IOC, if you have many friends and supporters who give you ideas.
The winners were recognized in the iconic Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall in D.C. The judges for the awards were asked to consider athletes' iconic part of the game's success rather than the numbers of medals. As for the cycling news, JetPak's Australian rider Brinton Jones won the ninth and final stage of the Tour of Hainan as Sacher Modeler became the overall winner. Modeler secured his yellow jersey 9 seconds ahead of second place Andrew Dietz in the general classification. Modeler was also the winner of the green jersey, topping the points classification. Tadasten Stitz picked up the blue jersey as the best Asia rider. The polka dot jersey for King of the Mountains went to Julian E. Ifears. This year's Tour of Hainan started and concluded in Warning and covered nearly 1,500 kilometers over 9 stages. That's all for sports. Let's move on to the entertainment.
Welcome to the weekly entertainment. Stick to the channel and I'll bring you a terrific show tonight. There's no denying that some Chinese characters are rather complicated, not only for foreigners but also for us native speakers. Recently inspired by his visit to Xi'an, a Chinese teacher decided to punish the students being late for class by letting them copy one of the most difficult character, Biang, for 1,000 times. haven't written this character for even once. If so, go and have a try and you will understand how effective this new measure is. Recently, a funny story happened in Haikou when popular on the internet. A thief broke into a woman's house at night to commit a crime when suddenly there came a sound so piercing that the thief almost fell out of the building out of scare. This attracted the police and he was caught soon. And guess what the woman was doing? She just lay on her bed watching the popular TV series Nirvana in Fire and burst into laughter all of a sudden. These days, in Bingzhou, a barbecue restaurant was in a big trouble. In order to attract more customers, they printed the pattern of RMB on their voucher. Sounded like a good idea, right? But this violated the laws indeed, and the restaurant was warned and fined by the local government. So guys, think twice before you carry out your novel idea. For fans of the TV series Prison Break, what happened in Brazil on October 25th may seem quite amusing. In a prison in Goya State, a 44-year-old man put on a skin mask and disguised himself as a granny in order to break the jail. However, the policeman seemed to be more careful than he expected, for his painstaking disguise was at last seen through. What a shame. Everyone may have his own idol, but when it comes to the craziness of worship, a pair of lovers from Marseille in France may surprise all of you. In order to look like their idols, Ken and Barbie, they have spent $200,000 on 15 plastic surgeries in recent years. The effect was obvious, though, for wherever they go now, their fairy tale appearance will attract all the people around. Now, imagine a middle-aged man in a pink tutu taking selfies in subway stations, parking lots, and even theme parks. You find it ridiculous, right? But when the same situation happened in America, most people were moved by the man, for he had been carried out this tutu project for 12 years in order to bring happiness to his wife who suffered from breast cancer. Thanks to his constant efforts, his wife is now in good condition, and at the same time for all these years, his funny appearance brought us loads of laughter as well. Have you ever been to a restaurant run by prisoners at a tough jail? If not, then here's your chance. Recently, such a restaurant in Britain called The Quick is on the news. Run by a group of seemingly dangerous but indeed enthusiastic staff, the restaurant is impressive in more than one aspect. Not only is it voted one of the 10 best dining places in the country for its warm service, but it's also credited with helping slash reoffending rates. No one will regard a traffic accident as a good thing, but this time for the villagers in Saratovskaya Oblast in Russia, maybe it was. On October 31st, when a truck carrying a cargo of vodka turned over in a road, 20,000 bottles of wine scattered all over the ground. This attracted nearby villagers soon. Though the wine was not real vodka, they still crazily fought to get their hands on those free bottles. So maybe there's no such thing as a free lunch, but after all, there can be fake yet free vodka. Double 11 is coming, and shopping online has become an increasingly popular trend this year. But while we enjoy all those discounts online, we still need to focus on rational spending during holidays. Our commentator Zach and Daisy will comment on this issue.
Hello everyone, welcome to this week's commentary. It's me again, Daisy. Today we will talk about a couple things relating to the upcoming Double 11 holiday.
Okay, so the topic for discussion today falls on the interesting issue of rational spending during holidays. So what we're going to talk about lies in conjunction with the activities to the upcoming Singles Day, but more popularly called Double 11, as you've just mentioned just now. But I'd like to know what it is exactly, because prior to a few days ago, I had no idea what it was.
Okay, Double 11 is really called a Singles Day, and in these days, there are so many discounts in online shops, such as Taobao and Tianmao. As we all know, it is happening in a few days. So in order to celebrate this holiday, people often attend parties, participate in some forced outdoor shopping.
I noticed that there are a lot of people who are very fond of shopping. So can shopping make them happier or cure their loneliness? That's a little busy.
It is quite amusing at first sight, but the fact of the matter is that much of the so-called happiness which comes from making a purchase is temporal in nature. It really comes down to the quality of the experience when you bought it that counts. In hindsight, do we associate that buying of a particular item with a fond memory? If no, then it is only casual. If yes, then it is considered special.
Yes, that's true. My roommates have already collected so many things, such as beautiful clothes, shoes, bags, shampoos, and even a computer or some electronic things. Every year on Double 11, shopping line can be very cheap, so it must be very crowded on that day. And my roommate must be very clever. Maybe it's a little crazy, but I think it's good. And Zach, what happened in your life these days?
Well, other than frequently buying food and writing materials, I don't often spend that much. I attended different events throughout CUC, such as the recent English Corner Party, held at the studying cafe next to the bar, the annual CUC Student Gala held last month in the auditorium, social gatherings in various cafes, as well as other great events. However, one thing I noticed out of all this is that students don't generally seem to be afraid of taking the risk of buying things, even if they aren't sure whether the price is right. Maybe it's because there's a natural tendency to be adventurous, or perhaps out of simple curiosity. Of course, there is nothing wrong about this since everyone is coming. And I personally think that people willing to spend on particular holidays is also good for the economy, since that would indicate the amount of prosperity these countries enjoy.
Yes, but there is a huge trick about the holiday online shopping. A lot of customers don't know they are falling down a huge trick when they're giving out their money without doubt. But can you introduce the trick, Zach?
Okay, so basically this is how it goes. Businesses often employ the fact of raising prices higher than it is just before the holiday. Then, on the actual holiday itself, they drop it to a low percentage that somewhat motivates people to buy. Of course, that's also what they might want you to think, so that you'll save up. But sometimes they will also use a marketing trick to do the exact opposite, so that the price on that thing isn't lower, but even higher than it is before, in spite of all the huge signs that graphically screen discounts. You can always tempt customers to be taken in with these clever advertising strategies.
Yeah, it's so cunning. That's why people always doubt. If you are not clever enough to capitalize the gains, it is difficult to remain businessman. So my roommates probably spend more money and get into benefits on their shopping day. Wow, it's really sad news for them. Maybe I should do something to stop them from falling down in the online shopping. That's all illusory.
Well, if by illusory then you mean how people trick themselves into buying what they think is important, then yes. It's ultimately a matter of your own personal perspective.
On a Singles Day, people are always feel lonely, especially for some girls. When they see other girls have flowers, gifts, or company by their boyfriends, they will feel even more terrible and might be confused. Why don't I still have a boyfriend? Am I not pretty? Or am I not lively? All is no, but I still feel lonely and still have to celebrate the bachelor's holiday. While it's a sad story, it's biggest tragedy of our life. Some people will even call themselves the single dog. So do you have some good idea about this? And do you think how we spend time in holiday is better?
Okay, ultimately it just comes down to this. Why should anyone have to get so worked up about it? I personally think it would be better to make productive use of the day, spending more time with friends, participating in competitions, reading on more books to open up your mindset, practice dancing and singing, interacting with foreign students more, write some fan fiction and even a short story, etc. All of this just to get you motivated to do something besides then worrying about getting a boyfriend or girlfriend. Being in a relationship is perfectly okay, but that will also require a level of maturity and commitment to the on part of both people, not to mention the money you will eventually have to spend while dating them. You have your whole life ahead of you, so remember to take advantage of the other good things that come your way.
Yes, you're right. So for the girls, maybe they can dance, they can play yoga, or they can even take pictures in parks or other places. All is better than to worry about having boy or girlfriend.
So now, this leads to my earlier point, in that making all of these purchases in an attempt to gain some form of satisfaction is alright. But if the reasons are because you want to make yourself feel better about not being in a relationship, then you are only making things worse because it reinforces the notion of having to keep buying more and more and more in order to be happy. While getting these material possessions is okay, it would also be better to have fun, study well, work hard, and just enjoy life to the fullest. Then someday along the way, you'll find that special someone in your life. All you have to do is to believe and do the best you can.
And this is all of our commentary today, and I'm Daisy. Bye.
I'm Zach, and see you all.
Thank you, Zach and Daisy. We will offer you some living tips at the end of our program.
Midterm exams are around the corner. Be prepared and wait for good news.
These are the selected news brought you by Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and proceed from Weekly Focus.
Focuses on China and the world only on Weekly Focus. I'm Yan Bingxuan. See you.
And I'm Liu Qi. See you.
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。